listening to the Digital Strips Podcast, the first and best webcomics podcast on the planet, and a website who now sits around wondering what the various appliances in their home would look like with boobs. I am your host, and I am prone to nosebleeds, and that has nothing to do with spontaneous horniness. I am Jason, the Midnight Cartooner Sigler. With me as always, he is constantly swapping outfits with his mom to give ample amounts of panty shots to the fans. He is Steve the Geek Shitty.
Heck yeah, I am.
When you choose a comic like this, you can't refute any of these intros. They're all true to the experience. You get to say nothing. I mean, you get to say things, but you don't get to.
I'm not going to say anything.
No, you must talk. You must talk about this comic. This comic, which is called My Pet Succubus. This comic is brought to us by Carlos G, and it is super horny.
Yes.
And yes, I assume Steve is too, so now he'll tell you why he's horny for this comic. No. tell us what is the story of My Pet Succubus and why you chose this comic.
Okay. So the story is, let's see. There is a demon named Giselle who gets summoned into the world by her eventual mom figure, Natasha, and they just become a mother-daughter team, which makes me, like, I don't know how you start having motherly feelings towards a succubus you summoned just for sexual reasons, but I'm not going to judge. It's not a real thing. It's all, like, sex demons aren't real. Sentient computers aren't real. So I don't have to think about that.
I don't think that's how that goes.
It's how it's going in my brain.
None of these things exist, so I don't have to think about them. Mothers and daughters loving each other. It's wonderful. Well, it's not real.
Despite all the wonkiness, they have one of the most wholesome mother-daughter relationships in media.
Okay. I think
Natasha genuinely cares about you.
You don't get to get away with that. That stinks so bad. I can smell it across the room. I must call that out. I admit that there are wholesome moments, but there's also just as many moments where Natasha is trying to whore out Giselle to anybody she can because she remembers, oh, that's right, I brought you here for sexual purposes. You should be having sex with that man over there. Let's totally get him all horny for you and show your boobs, and here, you can have my boobs. Try these out. It's wholesome, most wholesome mother-daughter pair in media is no.
That's, yeah.
Shame, well, sir. Shame.
All right. I'm going to address the elephants in the room. This is quite possibly the horniest comic we've ever done. And we did that weird horny Frankenstein comic. That being said, it is also at the same time, like, there's different kinds of horny. And this is like a childlike, innocent type of horny, where it's more about the silliness of everything. It's not about, oh, the deep passion of sex. No, it's just like, boobs are funny when you think about it. Oh, look, I can grab a broom with my butt so I can keep playing my Game Boy and sweep. Like, that's silly. That's funny. It's all very lighthearted. There's not an ounce of meanness about it. And that's kind of depicted in the art. It's like the last comic we've done with demons, Headless Bliss, total opposite end of the art spectrum. That's very dark and very gothic. This is very light. It's very shiny. It's very bouncy. You can hear the bagunk, bagunk, bagunk with every step these characters would take. And that's fun. And that's bright. And that's bringing in. I also think of the other opposite end of the spectrum, kill 10 billion demons or whatever, like, where everything is jagged. Here, everything is round, because everything is a bosom.
So, I was gonna say, the boobs have to figure into everything, so yeah, you have to have a roundness to everything.
Exactly. Exactly. So, like I said, this comic is definitely not safe for work. It is definitely not for children. It is definitely for adults, but it's for adults to revel in the childlike understanding of what sex is. Because that's what Giselle has. Giselle is 18,000 years old, and her physical form is 18. So it's not like one of those weird lowly gothic things where they're like 12. But it's unfortunately close to that. But she's also, at the same time, despite being a succubus, too sweet and innocent for this world, where she doesn't understand any of the stuff. There's an entire arc where she tries to figure out where babies come from, and in the end, she just watches National Geographic and watches two lions play horsey, and she's like, that's cute. And that's the end of it. Like, that's how she sees the world. And I wish I could see the world that way again. And, you know, it was fun to walk in these shoes. Is this comic a in-depth treatise of modern sexuality? No. Is it chauvinistic as all get out? Absolutely. But is it fun and cute the whole time? For sure.
I will give you that there is an innocence and there is a playful nature to this. The way I can, I as I was writing my notes, I came up with the best way I can possibly sum up this comic. There was a time when I was a really big fan of Kevin Smith. I liked everything he did. I liked the movies. I couldn't get enough Kevin Smith. Eventually, I outgrew Kevin Smith, and he has not shown the capacity to do the same. Like, everything he does is the same as Mallrats and Clerks ever was. This is a comic for Kevin Smith fans. It has that crassness that, everybody else is not as cool as us. And that's not the characters in the comic. That is, like, more, I'd say, the creator. But it just has that feeling of we're making a joke out of this and haha, isn't it funny, even though it's not funny to anyone else. And rarely did I laugh at this comic. There were rare moments when it left horniness completely aside and just made a funny little joke. And it's like, oh, that's actually funny. So do more of that than the 100th joke about girls' panties. Aren't they funny? Like, I get that it is juvenile, and it's like it's not mean. That there is at least that it's not mean, and that there's, like, you know, jokes about sexual harassment and, like, sexual assault. You would think that something like this would be about that, but no, everybody's totally cool with being sexually assaulted in this comic. So there's never a moment where you feel bad for them. It's like, no, they totally wanted that. You can tell by the nosebleed. It's one note, and it kind of is by design, and that's fine. It's one of those. Bring Kevin Smith up again, the famous Penny Arcade. Like, Kevin Smith, it's not for you. Like, this is not intended for you. So if you didn't enjoy it, that's fine. But I did enjoy bits and pieces of it, and it wasn't, you know, painful to read. I definitely have read some comics either that you or I have suggested that are just like, oh no, I have to read this for a whole week. That's not good. This was not at least that, but I also will refute, there are very rare, but there are occasions where there is one moment where it's just two girls going at it and, like, touching each other and everything. Those are moments where the sex is definitely very explicit. And there's always warnings, too, with that. We read this on Tapas. And there's always a warning that hides it behind that. Or just like, hey, there's sexual content here. And it's never, like, super in your face, like, oh my gosh, that's a penis. It's not that bad. But it's enough. Except
that one octopus.
Well, yeah. But can't blame the octopus. So there are moments like that, but I mean, it just and the character of Natasha does constantly just boobs literally falling out of her dress, whatever she wears, and that's just this comic. Like, that is what it is. The computer comes to life, like you said, it's a sentient computer. Cyberlord, is that what his name is? Yeah, Cyberlord comes to life, and of course, at one point, he has to get Natasha's boobs because we have to pass them around to everybody to see how funny it would be with all their with her boobs on everybody, and ha. Computer with boobs. What would my toaster look like with boobs? It's a toaster with boobs. So,
I mean, there's only one way to find out.
I mean, yeah, you draw it. That's why you become an artist. Like, I'd like to see what that looks like with boobs on it.
I do get the impression that the ability to put boobs on things was a big motivating factor in Carlos's artistic journey. But I respect him for that. So I will agree that the best comics are the ones that go off topic and start just being silly. One of my favorite ones is when Natasha's like, you should invent something that'll clean up your room for you because you never do it. And she's like, why would I invent something like that? You already exist. Like, that's cute. That's fun. I would say there's more of those than you're giving it credit for. There were a lot of ones that were just plain regular. This is a silly joke in a silly world, and I liked it. And I thought they were super well done. The one where Death is a hairstylist, that was great fun. And there were times when it does try and get intellectual. There's a whole series of stuff where you can tell Carlos just started learning about quantum physics, and he wanted to do comics about it. And that's kind of cool. And there was another one where they were arguing about Dante versus Voltaire, which is an actual argument I had in high school because we thought we were so smart. And that's great. I think the range in this comic is more than it's given credit for, because it's still a minority of the overall presentation. But on the other hand, it's so quick to scroll through. Like, I read this whole thing in a couple of hours, and it never felt like a slog. It was always fast. It was always bright. It was always colorful. I was laughing out loud every once in a while, which makes it fun. And even when I wasn't, I was like, I acknowledge the silliness here, and I enjoy it. So, yes, it is definitely a niche pick. I understand why you didn't like it, and I did. And it wasn't for the reasons that people would accuse me for liking it. I think this would have been just as good, and if it wasn't so voluptuous.
Well, I think that's my biggest problem, is that once you do get into the jokes that are standalone, like this, that's just a funny joke. That's a good written joke. Well done. And then you get five more comics about boobs and girls touching each other, and oh, wouldn't it be sweet if we kissed? And he had a nosebleed from that. Like, it just leans too much on those, I felt. And I think Carlos would be much better served to write a funny comic that, you know, just has a girl with her boobs out all the time, instead of feeling like you have to lean on that. And I think the Kevin Smith comparison is apt. Like, he just can't get out of his own way of certain tropes and characters versus just writing a funny, good thing. I mean, you look at Chasing Amy, which a lot of people, that's their favorite Kevin Smith movie, which is not very Kevin Smith. Like, there's, you know, some of the dialogue is, you know, goes off the rails here and there, but it's more of like a human story. Like, it's, yeah. So I'm not asking this to be that, but there's so many good jokes in here, like you said, that one of my favorites is it is a bit sexual in nature, but it's when the three demons have Giselle in the demon realm, and they're like, you know, she's on trial to see if she, I think they're gonna kill her, maybe, I can't remember what she's on trial for exactly, but Natasha comes in and saves them, and she's like, you know, she's like, oh, I know what to do to these guys to, you know, get you released. And then it goes away, and it just shows her walking away with Giselle, just like, I totally knew that would work. And the demons are sitting there eating a box of donuts. They're just like, oh, it's lovely of her to bring us these donuts. Yes, indeed. And then nom, 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 nom. The naked lap dance took the cake, though. It's good timing. It's a funny joke. It's it's playing on the what the comic is, but also, you know, kind of subverting things. And that was one of my favorite jokes. There's also one where Giselle is trying out a Ouija board, and the first call she makes is her mom picks up because she's a demon. So she's like, hello, dear. Oh, yes. How are you doing? I was like, Mom, get off the line. I'm trying to call ghosts or whatever. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of meat on the bone. Not pun, very much not intended. For this comic, and I think it's left there, and I also think it's incredibly tragic and sad that when we get to the point, I think it's like 342 was the comic posted, that Carlos says, you know, that there are, like you said, hiatuses here and there. There's a one right before the ending, current ending at least, that was I'm taking some time off, you know, I'm gonna retool the comic, maybe think things through, whatever. It came back 5 months later, I think, and was essentially the exact same comic. Like, very little had changed. The artwork is a little different, but it was the same thing. So it's like, he didn't really change anything. And his most recent hiatus is now, take time away from this comic, work on something else, just not in a good headspace right now. And it seems like Carlos is unfortunately one of those creators that really beats himself up when things don't go the way he thinks they should. And that sucks because, you know, it sucks to be in that headspace, first of all. But second of all, this is quality stuff. There's quality stuff in here. And I am not a fan of all of the content, but there's definitely good writing. There's good art here. There's there are things that are here to be liked, and I hope he is working on them. I see him as Twitter, and I do know that he's working on them. Like, he's working on other characters for another comic and, like, maybe fleshing out another thing, but they're also very similar looking, which, you know, if you have a look, that's fine. But, yeah, I hope he's able to come back from this stronger, maybe with another comic that he enjoys doing more and finds more fulfillment in, because, you know, for anybody to quit with this level of talent is a shame. So I hope that's not the case.
Yeah, every time he did a hiatus, he referred to, like, oh, we're not getting as much readers as we used to. And that seemed to be a recurring theme. And I feel for that. That's a really... It's really hard to have attained a certain level of internet success and just to expect that to continue, because the people that you see get to the next level, they talk about, oh, I was at this level and I went up here and over here. And it sounds like a very linear progression. And it sounds like Carlos is not getting that. And that, if you look at his Tapas stats, I mean, this comic has almost 15,000 subscribers. That's awesome. But I don't know how many of these people are reading each time. I don't know what he's seeing that is making him feel this way. And the number-driven nature of any type of internet content creation, be it a webcomic, a vlog, podcast, anything, can be incredibly crushing to the soul. We've seen countless creators just kind of have to walk away because they weren't getting the numbers they felt that their effort warranted, and that's really sad. And I really feel for Carlos. I really do. It's tough. It's incredibly hard to put yourself out there in a way. And I get the feeling that this comic is very much Carlos. Like, if he wanted to, he could do something else. But this is the comic he wants to make. This is who he is. And then to have people say, well, who you are isn't what I like. I'm going away. That sucks. That sucks a lot. So I feel for the guy. And my only advice would be you obviously love this. Make it something you do just because you love. If you want to try something else, try something else. If you want to keep doing this, keep doing this. Every different comeback, there's been a slightly different art style. There's sometimes where it's all in sepia tone. There's sometimes where there's hints of color. There's sometimes where it's full color. There's sometimes when it's a little more goofiness. There's quite a lot of difference within this very small box that I can tell he's trying different things, and I respect that. And I think he's trying to find what resonates with people. And, you know, I don't know how to say this, but, like, you know, maybe just the internet has grown past satanic boob comics, and that might just be your lot in life. But I will defend this as the best satanic boob comic in the history of the internet. And that's something. I mean, it might not be what you were hoping for, but you knocked it out of the park.
I was gonna say, as you were saying, like, maybe they've outgrown it, I can hear, like, the tears rolling down your cheek of, like, damn it, that's so sad.
This is sad.
Can't be. It's
the
not
world's
sad.
Become a better place, and it sucks.
That there can definitely be satanic boob comics out there for enough people to enjoy. I mean, when I think of, you know, making something and only, you know, wanting to make it if you're successful, or and by that metric, like, because people are reading it, like, enough people, whatever number you've set in your head, especially these days, that's you're going to get nowhere with that. Like, that, you have to make a comic that you love, like, you like, you enjoy making this, you think it's funny. You can't make you can't write something that everybody's going to enjoy, because then nobody's going to enjoy it, or not enough people in your mind. So yeah, I wouldn't necessarily follow this path and be like, this is the comic I'm going to make till the end of time because it's all I can make. You want to make something else? Go make something else. But hopefully Carlos and any other creators are able to at least tweak their mind enough to be like, oh, I like this. I'm enjoying this. I love putting this out here for the world to read. Even if only, like, two or three people are reading it, they're really enjoying it. And that's enough for me. instead of, well, I'm not getting the 12 billion views like this comic over here, so clearly I'm not successful. Why do I even try? And that's an impossible block to get past sometimes, to fight past that. I mean, it can block creators for weeks or months or years at a time, and it sucks. But I hope that he's able to do that, because, like I said, there's clearly chops here. There's an ability that needs to be shown and explored and shared with everybody, and I hope that we get that sooner than later in a new comic or whatever it might be from Carlos, because, yeah, this one is not exactly my cup of tea, but it is worth checking out, and you'll find something to like here, I bet.
Yeah, and it like I said, not every comic is going to be everyone's cup of tea, and that's fine. Just make whatever makes you happy, and if that brings you success in the form of viewers, wonderful. If it brings you success and just being happy with what you've done and doing the best you can with it, carry on. Like, I don't know. I feel for anyone who feels like they're not doing enough, because that's definitely something I think we've both battled with at some point and just had to kind of, I don't know, move past. As hard as it is to just say, get over
it. We had to because we only get like 5 listeners a week. So if we hadn't, we wouldn't be here either. So
exactly. But that's what I'm saying. Like, we used to have a lot. Digital Strips used to be a very, very popular very popular podcast overall. And it's not now. And that sucks. But it's also something I'm proud of, because I like making it. And I like the journey that it takes me on. And that just has to be enough for me.
Well, and even once, this also is a note to shout out to your creators, the people that make things regularly, if you can, to tell them, hey, I really enjoyed that. Great job. Keep it up. Because, you know, we'll get that once every quarter, maybe, from somebody that we review or whatever. Like, thanks so much for looking at it and really enjoyed the show. And that's like, okay, that's good. Thank you. That gave me enough of a boost to keep going for like the next half a year or whatever. I also like talking to this chucklehead about comics occasionally. So, you know, that helps.
I'm a chucklehead.
He is. And now he's going to have a big head, so we have to end this. That will do it for this episode of Digital Strips. If you have any comments about anything we talked about in this episode, or suggestions for future episodes, you can find us on Twitter. The show is at Digital Strips. I personally am at the Jason Sigler.
I personally am at Idahobo.
Thought he could take a drink before I finished that, and he knew he couldn't. Good man. I was hoping I could make him spit it out.
Never.
Or if you prefer, you can head on over to our website. That's digitalstrips.com. You can leave us a comment there in the show notes. You can also reach us by email. The email address is digitalstrips@gmail.com. And we give special thanks to Chime and Adam Tell for our music. From their song, Hole. You can find Hole, along with many other great copyright-free songs, on YouTube, SoundCloud, and Spotify. And if you like this show, I have great news. We do another podcast. It's a show featuring two guys who have never met in real life, and they give each other plenty of reasons to stick to that decision. And also get absolutely no listeners. Like, there's maybe one each time. It's a guy I know at church. What's up? If he's listening to this show, hey, Addison, keep listening. You're crushing it. Good luck at graduation.
There's more than that, and you know it.
Two. That's right. Mom occasionally
don't,
listens.
Don't make Hi, this Mom. A pity party.
Yeah, it's why not? But that show is called Then You Ruined It. You can find that podcast with Digital Strips on pretty much any podcast platform you use. If you can leave us 5-star reviews, please do so. We really appreciate those. But until next time, for Digital Strips, I am Jason the Midnight Cartooner Sigler.
I will always be Steve the Geek Shinny.
Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you in the fourth panel. Probably between a pair of boobs. Not gonna lie. Not a bad place to be either.
Yeah, I mean,
if I can say, like, you know, top 3 places I'd like to be between a pair of boobs is probably, I would say 2 or 3, but it might be 1. It's pretty good there. How'd you stop recording? I'm talking about boobs. All right, fine. I'm just going to give my one man monologue about boobs. This is going to be exciting. William Shatner style. Just sitting on a stool up here with my drink and my cigarette. I'm a boobs pervert. There, it's recorded. Happy.